lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 104, stanzas 5, 8, 9, and 10. Man's life is past in vain desire, if troubled years be spent for gain. He knows not whose his wealth shall be, and all his toil is but in vain. 5, 8, 9, and 10 of 104.
Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and thereof chapter 22, beginning with verse 24 to and including 53. Luke 22, beginning with verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray, that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleepest ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we may gather in this evening as a congregation in a day that is set aside by us, that we may cry to Thee for the needs for which we are so dependent upon Thee in everything. Thou art our Creator, Thou art our Maker, Thou art our Provider also. So that there is not a man upon the earth that is able to lift one finger without Thee. Oh, in Thee we live and move and have our being, Thy servant, it right at Thy command. Give us to feel it in this day, and that we might know our dependence, and that we may see our great guilt, and that we do turn our backs to Thee, and that we do leave Thee days without number, and so that we forget Thee, though that Thou dost provide for us every single moment of our life, to uphold us in our existence, in our being, and to give the necessary strength for our motions and to direct everything to a certain and determinate end, and that Thou mayest give us deep impressions of our guilt before a holy, a righteous, but also a good-doing God, and that our prayer may not be sin in Thy most holy sight, but that we may come with a fitting humility and repentance before Thee in this hour. And when we do beseech of Thee all the needs that lie upon us, and then we think especially of all the temporal needs in the season that lies before us. For Thou art He that does govern the skies, the sunshine and the rain, and Thou art He that does bring forth the fruit of the earth, and we can do our labors, but without Thee we can do nothing. And that Thou mayest remember us then and bless the work of our hands, especially the farmers in the fields, that we may receive food and drink and clothing and shelter and all that is necessary for this life. And that Thou mayest give unto our youth and our children also impressions in the days of their youth, that we are not able to live here below without Thee, and that Thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance, that Thou may remember those that do suffer in ways that we do not, that have no food and drink and clothing and shelter, that do not have love from family members, those that are addicted to drugs or to alcohol, that are homeless. Lord, Thou knowest the needs of those whose minds do not work like Thou didst create man, and that Thou mayest remember them also, and that Thou mayest supply for the sick and the afflicted also in this season. And Thou knowest those that do receive treatments for serious diseases, that thou mayest bless the means for their welfare and those that receive surgeries or do recover, that thou may remember our families, husbands and wives do give love for one another, obedience of children to father and to mother. Remember us as a congregation, a consistory, when we are called to labor amongst this our flock, that thou may give us strength, O Lord, that thou may give us wisdom and discretion in all things, and that thou may give us prosperity in the midst of us, a true unity around thy holy word and truth and doctrine, and that we may be given truly to uphold it, and that thou may teach it unto each and every one of us in our hearts, and that thou may look upon us as a denomination also. Lord, thou knowest the needs thereof, that thou may look upon the curatorium, could it please thee in the season that lies before us, to give yet a new ones to enter into the theological school that may be wholeheartedly accepted by the curatorium, and that thou wouldest humble us under thy goodness, and that thou mayest help the students and teachers that currently do bring thy word to speak amongst the congregations. Help them in their studies, and that thou may bless their labors also. And when they do also go from place to place, leaving family, that thou mayest supply for those at home. Remember our nation, our province. Thou knowest also the great responsibility in these times of those that rule and reign over us. Wilt thou give them help from above, and that thou may supply in thy mercy for this nation and all the nations of the world where there is war, that thou may remember that people. O Lord, thou knowest the suffering, thou knowest how that the enemy does invade the land. Oh, that thou mayest watch over them, and that thou mayest spare life. Put away the aggressors, and that thou may bring peace in the land, and that thou wouldst keep it also from spreading over all of this world, and also coming into our own nations, and that thou may bring us back to thy word and to thy testimonies, because all of this are the consequences of sin. Or that we may be given to see and to know it also as nations and as peoples, and be brought to seek and to serve the true and the living God. Wilt thou teach and lead us into that truth also in a personal way, that thou mayest remember the nation of thy own people. Thou knowest the nation of the Jews, that thou mayest open their eyes, and that thou may give them to confess the Son, and to kiss Him while that He had proffers peace and pardon. But that thou mayest remember especially thy remnant, for thou knowest how that Satan does increase his devices against them, and that it will increase to the end of this time, that thou mayest give conversions and an increase in their number in an outward way, and but also an increase in the knowledge of thee and thy dear Son. Oh, that thou mayest give an increase in true saving faith and those comforts that thou dost reserve unto thy own people. For thou knowest the declension, and that thou thyself would awaken thy church, and that thou mayest give them food and drink in an evil time, and that thou wouldest prepare them also for thy second coming, and when thou wilt appear in the clouds of heaven, and when thou wilt come to judge the quick and the dead, and that thou mayest supply, O Lord, in this evening, give us strength and health for the work that is lying upon us in the season that is before us, and that thou mayest bless the work of our hands. Give us that nearness to thee that we stand in need of, or that we may receive instruction from thee, that we may be fed by thee, that thou wouldest speak unto us, that we may speak unto others, and that thou wouldest give us together feelingly and believingly to know that thou art our God and that we are thy children. Help us in this evening a little while to speak a few words. Oh, bring thy word with power in the hearts of each and every one of us, and that there may be a true returning, a true repentance, new ones born in Zion, and that there may be glory for thy great and glorious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 249, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Because thy trust is God alone, and thy refuge is the highest one, no evil shall upon thee come, nor plague approach thy guarded home. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 249. beloved congregation, it is prayer day. What does it mean to pray? We read in God's Word that two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Thus, they are both called prayers, but what they did was two very, very different things. Does the Lord hear the prayers of the reprobate? We know that Cain complained to the Lord that his punishment was greater than he could bear. And the Lord heard him. Pharaoh asked Moses, "Entreat for me." And the Lord heard him. We even read that the Lord suffered the devils to go into the herd of swine. We know that the man born blind said to the Pharisees that we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And yet we have heard that God indeed does hear by times the request of the reprobate. What is the answer to such a request of the reprobate based on? These prayers, these cries, are not based on the same thing that God's children do cry upon. That is, the answers to the prayers of the reprobate are based upon common grace. What is that? Grace? That is, to those who do not deserve it, that is the fallen human race. But it is common. Thus the Lord giving to undeserving persons outside of his special grace in Christ, commonly unto men. Thus, indeed, hearing by times the prayers of the reprobate in order that he may uphold this world and that he may, in his own time, bring in his own church. Thus, providential answers to prayer are no sure work of the special grace of the Spirit of God. Why not? Because they are not all based upon the mediatorial work of the Son of God, the prayer of the publican. It was a spiritual act that came out of regeneration, that came out of a new life. And the answer to that prayer did not come from common grace, but it came out of that special covenant of grace. Thus, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And this is now where the reprobate fall away. You say, why is that? Can they not also pray, boys and girls, in Jesus' name? for Jesus' sake? Oh, yes, you do that too, right? Always. They do that in an outward way with words. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Thus there is no prayer except it is drawn by the Father himself that rests upon the mediatorial work of the Son of God. Prayer day is not only for God's people. Prayer day that is for everyone. Paul says, I will that men lift up their prayer everywhere. It is an awful thing if a man will not pray to God, his creator, his provider, in his goodness. The Lord is often pleased to answer such prayers. But congregation, will our prayers ever go further than that? Further than the prayers of common grace? Even the animals. We read it in the Bible. The young lions do seek their meat from God. Is that as far as we do go? With the creatures of this world to seek their meat from God? Needs to become more than this. We wish to consider something of this in this evening out of the words of our text, which you can find in Luke 22, as was read to you. Luke 22, and thereof the 46th verse. Luke 22, verse 46. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So far the words of our text. Christ's timely admonishment of his church. First, a rebuking question. Why sleep ye? Second, an urgent admonition. Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Christ's timely admonishment of his church, a rebuking question, and an urgent admonition. Why sleep ye? Who says that? To whom is it said? It is said by the Lord Jesus to his disciples. He awakens his disciples. Why is that? Are the disciples not permitted to sleep? Does it not say that in the Bible that so he giveth his beloved sleep? Why sleep ye? Is that not a strange question? Is that not a perplexing question for the disciples? Is it not understandable that the disciples are sleeping? Oh, it is a long day that is behind them. It was a busy day. They had to prepare the Passover. They have eaten of the Passover. It has become night. It is late in the night. Probably it is even close to midnight. Questions of Christ can sometimes be very perplexing to his church. We read it in the Bible, and that the Lord asks a question. He says, who touched me? The disciples did not understand his question. They were perplexed. The multitude thronged thee, and yet there was good reason. There was very good reason for the question of the Lord Jesus. Why sleep ye? No, the Lord Jesus does not deprive his people of rest. He was come to bring, he was come to purchase a rest for his own people. A rest that would be far above all the rest that a person can receive in this world. But do you know what Solomon says? He says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose that is under the heaven. The Lord Jesus said, there remaineth therefore a rest, Paul says, unto the people of God. When is that? When shall they receive their rest? Oh, they will receive it in that heavenly Canaan, the Apostle Paul says. But now the Church of God is often seeking their rest here. Here below. May they rest sometimes, yes. But it is just a little bit. It is just a little taste of that eternal rest. They may not sleep so long. Why not? Because they are a militant church. They are a church that is at war. And a soldier who is at war does not get very much time to sleep. Why sleep ye? There is good reason that the Lord Jesus is asking this question. He is calling his own disciples. He is calling his own people to give an account. To give an account unto him. Because he had given to his own children a command. He had given to his own children direction. All his children must answer to him. What did he say? We read, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Where was he? We read he was at the Mount of Olives. They had come into that well-known place, into the Garden of Eden. Eight disciples. He leaves at near the entrance of that garden. Peter, James, and John, he takes with him a little ways into that garden. And he himself goes, we read, a stone cast further, a little ways. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The deep soul suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ has begun. The climax of his suffering, when he will pay that awful price for his own children. He expresses this unto especially those three beloved disciples, and he gives them direction. Watch, he says. Rise, pray. He goes a little further. He kneels. He prays. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What is it about? What does he pray about? He prays about the future. He prays about what is coming. Do we do that today too? Pray about the future. How did the Lord Jesus know what was coming? We read here that there is fear. Fear in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we ever fear for what is coming? Say, we do not know what is coming. And yet sometimes we have an apprehension. Why? Because we see the signs. The sky is red, we read in the Bible, and lowering. And then there is fear. Is that the way that Christ knew? No, it is not. But he knew in particular everything that was going to happen. Why? Because it was divine. Because he is God. Because the future and the past are both alike in his own knowledge. And thus there is a great weight that is added to that suffering of Christ, that is laying upon the shoulders of this human nature, a weight of the knowledge of the suffering of the future. He remained a human being. Thus, that human nature that is trembling, does yours do that too? If we think of what is happening in the world, if we look forward as far as we are able as ignorant persons to see, to apprehend, then our hearts do tremble. Oh, his human heart also trembled. Then there was fear within him. We read about sweat. We read about more, don't we, boys and girls? We read that his sweat that becomes as great drops of blood falling to the ground. All those afflictions, those sufferings, that death, that is not natural. No, people say today death is natural. No, death is a punishment. Death is the consequence of sin. Death is the last enemy. Death is a fearful thing for a creature of God. And now the prince of darkness, hell itself, lets loose. And he is attacked in his soul. Why sleep ye? Oh, can we not understand then why the Lord Jesus is asking that question? When he arises from his knees and when he returns to his disciples and he sees them sleeping, is this then thy kindness to thy friend? When I have asked, when I have instructed you to pray? No, that is not the reason that these disciples are sleeping. It is not because they do despise the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not because that they are lazy in any way. No, we have heard Peter and the other disciples, they say that we are ready to die with thee. And so it was. That was true, what they have spoken from their heart. The Lord Jesus himself says it. He says the Spirit is willing. Oh, that Spirit is ready. Why then? Why are they sleeping? Oh, Christ says it himself. It is because the flesh is weak. What does Luke say? He says they are sleeping for sorrow. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus has prepared his disciples over these past weeks. Little by little, he has introduced them to the suffering that was going to come. Little by little, more and more, He has revealed to them what he himself was going to endure for his church. They did not understand it all. That has to do with the future. But one thing they did understand, that there were very dark days that were before them. It was very fearful for them. It was very depressing for them. We read they were amazed. We read that they were sorrowful. Week after week, then they are following him. Let us also go with him, and we will die with him. The love that is living in their hearts, but the fear and the anxiety, that is also taking a toll upon their flesh. It wears them away. They have to learn the weakness of their flesh. The weakness of their flesh to bear the punishment of sin. Did we ever learn the weakness of our flesh to bear the punishment for sin? They are sleeping for sorrow. What have they endured? You say they have not endured anything yet. They cannot even bear the thought. They cannot even bear the thought that wears them away, the thought of suffering, of trial, of tribulation. Simon, sleepest thou? What? Couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour? What do we read? Neither wist they what to say. They could not even pray for 1 hour. 1 hour. And after they are rebuked, then they fall asleep again. A second time, a third time. Did they want to sleep? No. No, that was not their desire. You can imagine how ashamed that those disciples were. But you know what they had to learn? They could not take care of Christ. They could not pray with him for 1 hour. Christ had to take care of them. Christ had to pray for them. Why sleep ye? A rebuking question. But in our second thought, an urgent admonition. Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Why? Why does he say, rise and pray? Because he says, it is not the time to sleep. He has not told them everything. He has not explained to them all the details that are going to happen to him in this next night, in this next day. He will spare them. But he did tell them something. He told them how close that it was. He said, it is very, very near. He said to them, it is going to happen this night. There is a great tribulation coming. They don't know how great it is, although they were told. It is very near. They do not know how near it is, although they were told. Rise and pray. Why? Because that enemy is very, very near. The enemy is not sleeping. That enemy is awake. That enemy is ready. That enemy is approaching. That enemy is at the very, very door It will only now be moments that that enemy will be upon us. That is going to be a time, my disciples, of great temptation for you. It is going to be a very great trial for you. Satan is going to try to make you defect from the truth and from me. That enemy is going to try to turn your whole life upside down. Oh, as if it was all lies, as if it was all deceit concerning me. That enemy is going to tempt you to forsake me for the fear of your own life. He will tempt you to deny me. No, my disciples, it is not time for sleeping. It is time for praying. Lest ye enter into temptation, lest you enter into it. Not lest it come upon you, because it is coming. It is certainly coming. There is no preventing it. It is even at the doors, and it is necessary. Necessary for my church. Why? Because they must be refined. They must be refined as silver is refined. They must be tried as gold is tried. They must be heated in the chase so that that dross can be taken off from those precious metals. Rise. Elsewhere it says, watch. He says, be attentive to all the devices of the enemy, that they do not take you by surprise while you are sleeping, but rising, watching. That is not enough to keep them from entering into that temptation, from falling through that temptation. That is not enough. Oh, rising, watching. You know what that's enough for? That's just enough to make us afraid. Right? Maybe you are afraid sometimes, boys and girls. Read in the Bible what the last days will be. Are you then fearful? You say, maybe I read something else. I push it away. Why? I'm afraid. Yes, rise, watch. That makes me afraid. It does not only say to rise and to watch. He says, rise and pray. Why? Because that alone is sufficient. Oh, prayer. That is now the mightiest weapon. And that is in this whole world. When that prayer is to the true and the living God, then there is no weapon that is able to overcome that prayer. Oh, prayer unto that true and that living God is what grants the greatest comfort, the greatest foundation for comfort to people who have enemies. I heard a Ukrainian woman. You know what she said? We need more weapons because prayer isn't helping anymore. Oh, poor woman. Poor woman. Why? Oh, then she did not understand something about the true and the living God. That is how almighty that God is. About how that God works. Must we say then, do not fight? Oh, no. No, those poor people need to defend themselves. But man's extremity, man's importunity, his need, his desire, his great need, that is the Lord's opportunity. When there are no more weapons, he hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. Let us sing 188, 1, 2, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 2, and 4 of 188. lie sleepy. The children of Dan came upon Laish, we read, when they were quiet and secure. And they came upon them suddenly, slew them, and burnt their cities. Lot tried in the night to awaken his sons-in-law. Up, he says, get you out of this city. The Lord is going to destroy it. But he seemed to them as one that mocked. 120 years, Noah preached, and he tried to awaken the old world from their sleep, of sin and death. But he could not awaken them. Even when that ark that was almost finished, the last boards are placed on, and then that world may see that great miracle, all the animals, they're coming two by two, coming by sevens, all filing into that ark. There's no movement. There is no waking in a spiritual, in a dead sleep. Ukrainians watched as the Russians built up tanks and planes upon their border. Most in the world, most in Ukraine, never thought it would happen. And then it came. Suddenly, in one day, so that so many persons, they had to say, for this, we were not prepared. How many warnings do we need? Warnings of providence. Warnings from the Holy Scriptures of that day of the Lord. The Lord says it is going to come as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction, it says, cometh upon them. The judgments are in the earth. Pestilence. Disease, war, love waxes cold, sin reaches its climax here below. Oh, the remnant of the Lord, that little remnant, more and more is going to be the center of the trials and the tribulations that are coming in this world. Both within the world and within the church. For we wrestle not, Paul says, with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. How many tribulations are before us? How close are they unto us? Monday, when I arose, I was struck by a little sentence of Thomas Shepherd. His little diary. Do you know what he said in that sentence? He spoke in that sentence about the perfection of all misery caught my attention. What is that? What would be ultimate misery? The perfection of misery. Do you know what he said? The want, the lack of the spirit of prayer. Words without affection. Thus, to pray and at the same time not to pray. Do we know what that is? Is that the grief of our heart? What is the cause? Sleepiness. For some, for many, it is the sleep of death. The sleep of death. Spiritual death. We do not see, we do not hear, we cannot feel, we do not breathe, there is no life. Who would desire that plight of poor blind Bartimaeus, sitting by that highway side begging? Who would desire that? Would you desire that, boys and girls? But what if? What if when Jesus passed by, he never cried? He never cried. Would that then not have been so much worse than the plight of that poor man? That is now the case of man by nature. Even when he has so much religion, do you know what we live in? We live in a state of unbelief. Then we lack all true prayer. Oh, not for our earthly needs. When we are sick and when we are in trouble, we have not what we want, then we pray. But we do not feel what our true misery is. We do not feel the wretchedness of our sinful existence. And we have no desire to be delivered from sin. Jesus passes by. Preaching of the law, and the preaching of the gospel, and there is no feeling, and there is no crying, and there is no prayer. The perfection of misery. Do we believe that? Paul says, therefore he saith, awake. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Why sleepest thou? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Christ speaks here especially to his people. Say, how is that possible? That even they are sleeping. No, they do not sleep the sleep of death. That is impossible. The gifts and the calling of God, they are without repentance. What does shepherd say? Words. Without affection. Oh, the burden is not so, people of the Lord. What grieves your heart more than words without affection? The want, the lack of the spirit of prayer. Sometimes they are like Solomon, who was going after the idols of his wives. They are in the world, and they know it. They know something is very, very wrong, but they cannot awake. They cannot awaken themselves out of their sleep, out of their slumber. Sometimes they are like that bride. She has eaten, and she has drunk, and she becomes sleepy, unwatchful, on a bed of sloth. The Lord visits the soul of his people, and they become unwatchful, complacent, and the Lord begins to call, "Open unto me," but they have put off their coat, they have washed their feet. Oh, why sleep ye? Other times it is different. Other times it is for them that they have simply to deal with the weakness as these disciples of their flesh. Oh, their spirit is indeed ready. That spirit is willing to suffer, but that flesh that does not want to suffer, forsake lands, father, mother, sister, brother, children, forsake. Oh, they are not ready. Oh, that flesh. Do they love the Lord? They love the Lord. They do not want anything to separate them from the Lord, but oh, to suffer trial, tribulation for that name of Christ. Oh, then they experience that their flesh that is not dead. It is not dead. It is a church militant. It is a warfare. Paul says, without were fightings, within were fears. Are they tired then of that warfare? Oh, they are tired in that warfare. So often, how then to go forward? Rise and pray, Christ says, lest ye enter into temptation. Oh, how vulnerable is the church of God to fall in the temptation that is coming unto them. Because the temptations will come. Satan is never far away to say to them, "Dost thou retain thine integrity through all that tribulation, through all that affliction? Dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." All those temptations will come when they cannot understand why, after so long a time, the Lord, he leaves that enemy. The Lord leaves that enemy there. Why the Lord does not take that enemy away? They cannot understand how it seems like that enemy, he gains the upper hand. Is the Lord then with us or not? Then it seems like that enemy, he will gain the victory. Oh, do you know what Christ showed to his apostle John? You can read it in the book of Revelation. He showed to him his two witnesses. They prophesied 1,203 score days, and they were given power. They were given power over men upon the earth. They were given power to shut up the heavens, that it should not rain upon the earth. They were given power to bring trial, to bring persecution, to bring tribulation upon the inhabitants of the earth. But when they finished that testimony, then you read that that beast, out of that bottomless pit, he made war against those two witnesses. And the Lord in his providence gave them to overcome those witnesses, that they may afflict them not only, but also to overcome and to kill them. And then we can read there is a rejoicing. All men are rejoicing in the world because these prophets of the Lord, they have afflicted men in the earth. Oh, then the world is sending gifts, you read, one to another. But, oh, you would say, how then is it necessary that that church does rise and pray, lest that they enter into temptation when it seems like everything is lost for the church? And yet, you read after 3.5 days that these men, they are resurrected from the dead. And then there is a great voice from heaven that says, come up hither. And then they ascend up into heaven above the clouds. And they are seen by all of their enemies. Oh no, it cannot be. And it shall not be lost for that church. Though it will seem so in this world, though the whole world is rejoicing against that remnant of the Lord, sending gifts one to another, that they are destroyed from off the face of this world, know then that church shall be preserved, O congregation, young and old. What is our expectation of what is now coming in this world? Is the sky not red and lowering? Is it time for us to sleep? Is it time for the true church of God to sleep? Who has learned to pray? And he said unto them, rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us to pray? O teach us to watch, and wilt thou give us to rise? O give a rising from the dead, for those who are dead, and give a rising from sleep for those who are asleep. And wilt thou remember thy church in the last days? We know not what that season before us will bring. Oh, give to us a place by thee. Then we are safe, oh, and we may have a refuge for our poor soul. Oh, give us to hasten, therefore, and we and our dear children, spare us for one another, humble us under thy gifts. Be with us in this night, bring us safely to our places. Forgive what was amiss, bless thy word, for Jesus' sake, amen. 123, all the stanzas. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 123.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.